Welcome to WBUI Presents. I'm Araceli Gomez Aldana.
And I'm Ben Clemmer. October was a month that began with the deadliest mass shooting in American history and ended with the first indictments to come out of the Robert Mueller investigation. As national stories dominate the news cycle, we want to go back and take a look at some stories that made an impact locally and around the state. We'll begin tonight's show with a look at state environmental news. And that conversation begins, of course, with Indiana Public Broadcasting's Nick Jansen. Welcome to WBUI Presents.
Thanks for having me back, Ben.
So if listeners remember, way back at the beginning of the month, the Trump administration officially started to roll back the Clean Power Plan.
Yeah, that's right. Scott Pruitt, the administrator of the Environmental Protection Agency, took the first steps to repeal the rule. The agency has to collect public comments on the repeal proposal before it can actually repeal it. And we don't know this for sure yet, but the agency might propose an alternative rule to take the CPP's place.
Yeah, so let's back up a minute. What does the Clean Power Plan do?
So the Clean Power Plan was a rule created by the Obama administration. It would have required states to come up with a plan to reduce carbon emissions by 30% in an effort to combat climate change. As you might expect, fossil fuel companies really didn't like that plan. So they, along with 28 states, including Indiana, sued the EPA. And in 2016, the U.S. Supreme Court blocked that rule from going into effect.
So that's the old rule, which the EPA is now in the process of repealing. And as part of that process, the agency might propose another rule to its place?
Right. So they might, you know, propose basically a watered-down version of the original rule for regulatory reasons. Sometimes that can be easier to get through than if the agency just decides not to do something altogether that they originally decided to do. They would basically have to prove to the court that, you know, they didn't have the authority to do that, and that's harder to do.
I want to transition to the state legislature now. Now, you were down there a few times again this month. We saw most of the interim study committees finalize their reports to the General Assembly. Can you get us up to speed on that?
Yeah, so I've been following a few of those study committees, mostly on agriculture and water resources. The report from the Environmental Affairs Committee, which was studying the state's water resources, didn't issue any recommendations to the General Assembly. It was basically just a summary of all the testimony the committee heard. But this is a really important issue to keep an eye on. The state needs over $2 billion in urgent water infrastructure repair needs. So that's kind of a big deal moving forward. As for agriculture, the committee was looking at large-scale animal agriculture in the form of CAFOs. These are concentrated animal feeding operations. They're kind of like a giant barn with hundreds or thousands of animals packed inside. And the committee actually did agree on some recommendations to the General Assembly, mostly along the lines of requiring more notification to neighbors when someone wants to build a CAFO.
But these are just recommendations. It's not a new rule.
That's right. The legislature will decide when the session starts in January whether someone wants to propose legislation to that effect.
Moving away from the State House, let's go to East Chicago. There's been a lot of progress this month on the big Superfund site up there. That's the lead and arsenic contaminated site in the Calumet neighborhood of the city, where a public housing complex had to be evacuated.
Yeah, that's right. And so I'll start with an update on the cleanup. We're getting to the end of the construction season for the year. Pretty soon, the ground will freeze and EPA crews won't actually be able to dig out the contaminated soil and replace it with clean soil. At a meeting earlier this month, the EPA said they're on track to clean up all the properties they identified for cleanup this year. For the most part, the agency is focusing on the most contaminated properties, and next year they'll kind of move down their list and continue to clean up the rest of the homes. The EPA also announced they've reached an agreement with a few companies to clean up the non-residential half of the site. So a little bit of background, the U.S. Smelter and Lead Superfund site, which was originally divided into two zones, one half is residential, the other half is the site of the former facility, and it's just kind of abandoned industrial land right now. But earlier this month, the EPA announced they reached an agreement with USS Lead Mining Remedial Recovery Company, Arava Natural Resources Company, and Mueller Industries. And now the EPA can move forward with investigating and developing a cleanup plan for that part of the site.
Yeah, you just mentioned investigating. Lead testing was one of the big concerns when you first started reporting on this story. Is the testing something that's still ongoing, even though the EPA is also working on the cleanup?
It is, yeah. It's still a big deal. From an environmental perspective, we're seeing testing, you know, on the industrial side of the site, as I just said. The EPA also recently announced they're going to start testing the groundwater, which is something residents have been asking for a really long time. And even kids are getting involved. Earlier this month, the NAACP, the civil rights organization, visited a couple of schools and taught kids how to use these sort of at-home lead testing kits to make sure the air and water and dust in and around their homes is safe. So it's definitely something to kind of keep vigilant about. And as construction kind of goes on, you know, the EPA takes a lot of steps to make sure by doing the cleanup process, they're not spreading around contamination, but it's important to kind of just keep testing and keep vigilant about it. And health-wise, you know, residents can still get their blood tested for lead for free at health clinics in the city. And I know there's some people who maybe didn't get tested sort of last year when this was really prominent in the news, but have sort of kept trickling in and making sure they're safe.
Nick, thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Ben. Anytime.
Over the last 2 months, WPOI has made some changes to weekend programming. There is now an extra hour of Weekend Edition on Saturday and Sunday mornings. The Best of Car Talk is now airing at 6 p.m. on Saturday and noon on Sundays. WPOI has added 3 NPR podcasts, the last of which, Hidden Brain, began airing on October 7th. WPOI's Katie Anderson spoke with host Shankar Vedantam about the show's premise and how he thinks it will make listeners better understand themselves and the world.
Shankar, thank you so much for chatting with us today.
Absolute delight to be here, Katie.
There are some big things happening for you right now. You've been hosting the podcast Hidden Brain for a couple years now, and starting in October, the program will be heard weekly on stations around the country, including WBOI. So for those who are maybe unfamiliar with Hidden Brain, could you explain what it is?
Hidden Brain tries to bring together ideas from the news, from everyday life, and tries to combine that with ideas from the social sciences, from psychology and economics. A few weeks ago, there was a controversy out in Silicon Valley where a software engineer at Google wrote an internal memo about how the vast gender disparity in tech was driven by innate differences between men and women. In the opening episode of our radio show, we will take the controversy that was triggered by that internal memo, and we're going to explore the idea of how much gender is shaped by biology and how much is shaped by nurture. And we're going to do it by following a single family that decided to take a radical step about 2 decades ago. When their daughter was born, they decided to raise her in a fashion that was gender neutral. And we're going to explore all of the social and emotional and financial costs that they paid. We look at what happened with their child. And that's a way of essentially combining storytelling with science, with something happening in the news, and that's the essence of Hidden Brain.
In a recent episode, you talked about the ostrich effect and how and why we avoid information that makes us upset. So do you ever worry that some of the information that you're presenting, particularly about the darker side of human behavior, might actually cause an ostrich effect among your audience?
Absolutely. And I think this is something the media don't often think about. You know, we often think that our responsibility as journalists is just simply to cover the news. But what we're not factoring in is that the people listening, the people watching, the people reading are human beings. And human beings have complex relationships with information that is unpleasant. So the episode, the ostrich effect episode, explores this idea that on the one hand, many of us rationally know that unpleasant information can be very valuable. You know, the fire alarm goes off at work, or your doctor calls with your test results. All of this is unpleasant and painful information, but it's also very valuable. Unfortunately, we have a rule in some ways in the brain that says, try and avoid things that are unpleasant, try and avoid things that are scary, try and avoid things that make you sad. And so information in some ways has this dual quality where on the one hand, information that is negative can be very useful to us, but information that's very negative also makes us sad and we try and avoid it. What we try and do, I think, in the podcast is to try and take this issue seriously. And so in some ways, I think the goal is not just to hit people over the head with bad news, but to try and leaven this a little bit. So Hidden Brain is going to regularly have lots of episodes that are relatively light, that are relatively fun. And then you intersperse those with more serious episodes where you're demanding more of people. In some ways, I think the media need to think about our audiences the way that psychologists think about the people whom they see every day, because human beings don't behave like rational robots. You can't just tell them about hurricane, after a nuclear threat, after disease epidemic, after financial catastrophe, and expect people not to say, look, I've had enough, I can't take anymore.
Hidden Brain looks at the patterns that dictate human behavior. So I'm wondering what you see as the show's objective. Is it to simply make people aware of these behaviors or to maybe change human behavior?
I think a bit of both. I think the idea is to help people see that in their daily lives, there are multiple things that can help us get deeper insight about how we behave and why we are the way we are. One of the things that I really enjoy doing is to take things that are very common, things that are very commonplace, the way we park our cars. Do we park our cars nose in or do we reverse into our spots? And say, can we use that as a jumping off point to a deeper understanding about culture, a deeper understanding about ourselves? And my goal with Hidden Brain is really to try and do the same thing with our daily lives, to get people to look around them with curiosity and see that the things that they do and the things that other people do can reveal deeper things about human nature than is obvious.
Shankar Vedantam, it's been a thrill talking with you today. Thanks so much for taking the time.
Thanks so much, Katie. Really appreciate it.
WBOI Programming Director Katie Anderson joins us now. Welcome, Katie.
Thanks for having me here.
It's been a busy couple of months. In September, NPR's Sarah McCammon visited Fort Wayne, and in October, you got to speak with Shankar Vedantam.
Yeah, one of my public radio heroes, I think, so that was a pretty big thrill for me.
Our listeners who maybe don't listen to Hidden Brain just got a better sense of the program, but let's take all the new podcasts together, Planet Money, How I Built This, Hidden Brain, and Truth, Politics, and Power. What helps these shows integrate into WBOI's weekend lineup?
Well, I think when you take shows like Hidden Brain and Planet Money and How I Built This, those are all very familiar voices with our listeners. And they're also among the most listened to podcasts in all of podcasting. So I think that kind of ties in really well with our weekend schedule. And really, I know sometimes people like to take a little bit of a break from the news, but they still want to stay connected to what's happening around them. These shows take really big ideas, I think, from the headlines and then kind of puts them into a different perspective for listeners. So I think that's exciting. And Truth, Politics, and Power is hosted by Neil Conan, who I know many people remember him from NPR's Talk of the Nation, which was canceled a few years ago. So I know lots of people are thrilled to be hearing his voice again on the airwaves.
All of these podcasts, as you mentioned, are popular with the NPR audience nationally. Have we already heard some responses from the WBOI audience about new weekend programming?
Yeah, we have heard a little bit so far. People probably noticed that Car Talk is no longer in the 10 a.m. time slot on Saturdays and Sundays. People have been listening to that show, you know, for 30 years, and it's become a tradition in their households. NPR actually doesn't really produce new Car Talk episodes, so we kind of wanted to make room for some of the newer NPR programs that are coming. And people have also said that sometimes, just given our current political and news climate, they kind of feel abandoned by the news on the weekends. So we decided to add an extra hour of weekend edition to give people even more news so that they can stay in touch over Saturday and Sunday. And many stations around the country actually dropped Car Talk this season, but we decided to still keep it in our schedule, just different time slots that maybe aren't quite so prime time. And we did that because it remains a very popular program in our schedule, and we make decisions based on our audience.
And so this will be now with Hidden Brain being added, this will be the weekend schedule moving forward for quite some time then?
We are always evaluating our schedule, and for now, this is what the schedule will look like. But that being said, we're always evaluating our programming schedule and also paying attention to what our audience likes and what they don't like.
Katie Anderson, thank you for joining us tonight on WBOI Presents.
Thanks, Ben.
During our next segment, Araceli Gomez-Aldana and I will be joined by Zach Bernard for a preview of what you can look forward to at WBOI's Issues and Ales on November 8th. Stay tuned.